السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمد الله تعالى ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. الحمد لله. All praises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us. Allah has favored each one of us. And Allah has specially honored us with this wealth of Iman. Iman and belief in Allah is the greatest favor any person can be blessed with. That person who lives in this world believing in Allah and dies believing in Allah will be successful forever. And that person, no matter how wealthy or how powerful they may be, who dies living this world without belief in Allah, is eternally unsuccessful. This favor which Allah has given us, really and truly we have to understand the value of this favor which Allah has given us, this belief and this faith in Allah. And this Iman which we have, this belief requires that we make an effort upon it. Iman is such a quality which requires effort. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to this world to show us and to teach us the temporary nature of this life and the eternal nature of the next everlasting hereafter. My dear brothers and my sisters, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came into this world and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam demonstrated that life of simplicity. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's view and his ambitions and aims were only dedicated to the akhirah of the hereafter. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us by his example that the life of the hereafter is the aim for every one of us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something like this: being this world like a stranger or a traveler. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something like this: what is there for me in this world? I am like a traveler who rests a little bit under the shade of a tree and gets up and leaves. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life demonstrated this. Once Aisha radiallahu anha narrated something like this, she says that we saw a new moon, and then another new moon, and then another new moon, three new moons in two consecutive months. Three new moons, two consecutive months, that means the beginning of one month, the end of that month, and the beginning of the next month. Three new moons, two consecutive months. Fire was not lit in the houses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fire was not lit in the houses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means nothing was cooked. No food at all was cooked in the houses of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And her nephew asked her, "Oh, aunt, how do you mean 2 months? 2 months no fire, why did you live on? What did you eat?" And she said, "Aswadan, the two black things, tamar wal ma, dates and water." For 2 months consecutively, in the houses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all that was consumed was dates and water. Obviously, we know that that level of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'm not trying to say that we must all go and eat dates and water for 2 months. But what I'm saying is that an example and a pattern that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam set, and that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us, that his aim, his ambition, his work and his dedication was directed towards the akhirah. So that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed us no inclination towards this material world whatsoever. And if we can learn that quality, to become disinclined to this material world and inclined towards the hereafter, then inshallah we'll go very, very far, both in this world and the hereafter. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for 2 months nothing was eaten besides dates and water. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yesterday I mentioned, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his dua, his supplication, his prayer for his close family? For his wife, children, or what was he want? What I mean, I want Allah to give them a lot of wealth and the best houses and the best cars and the best money and the best everything. That's the way we ask. What was the prayer and supplication of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for his family and his close ones? It was something like this: Allahumma ij'al قال محمد قوتا. That, oh Allah, make the sustenance of the family of Muhammad barely sufficient. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something like this: successful is that person who has believed in Allah and who receives a little wealth, whose wealth is pure and little, yet he is contented with it. Something to that effect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said something like this: true riches, true wealth is contentment of heart. A person who has $100 in his pocket and he says it's more than enough to take care of my needs for the day. And another person has $1 million and he thinks, I need to make this into 10 million. And he doesn't sleep at night because he's planning how to be investing and how to be working and how to. And he thinks at night, you know what, I got so much money, I got so much taxes to pay, I got so much money, I got so much to do with this, and that, and that, and remains uneasy all the time, that I have so much, but I need more. Who's the really needy one? The one with $100 in his pocket who says, it's sufficient for me. Or the one with $1 million in his account who says, it's insufficient for me. You see, my brothers and my sisters, this world is such a place. We've been put in this world as a place of test and examination. And the desires for this world, the Messiah of Allah is reported to have said something like this: that if a man is given a valley full of gold, a valley in a place between two mountains filled with gold, a valley full of gold, who can possibly spend that amount of money in his whole lifetime? Not possible to spend so much. Yet, if a person is given a valley full of gold, he will not rest until he can get a second valley full of gold. And a person who has a second valley full of gold will desire a third. And the valley of the son of Adam will only be filled with the sand of the grave. If we don't put a limitation and we don't curtail our desires and greed for this world will consume everything of ours. All of our time, all of our efforts, all of our thoughts, all of our everything will become consumed, and at the end we'll find ourselves in the grave, having not prepared for that grave. I know in South Africa where we come from, in the place where I live, I have a friend of mine, extremely wealthy. He's got all that a person could desire of this world. Wealth and cars and businesses and investments and all the things that we really want. And one day, he told me, now his wife has passed away, his children have grown up, they married. He told me, when my children were little, they would come grab my hand and say, Dad, let's go, take us here, take us there. They would ask me, teach us this, teach us that, let's go. But I was busy making my money. I was busy earning my fortune. I didn't have time for that. Because you know how we are. No, just this year, I just want to pay for the house. Then when this house is paid for, then I just want to invest in one more. Then when I've done that, I just want to pay for it. And likely the years of our lives go by, pursuing one material goal after another. And he told me, he says, today I'm an old man. He said, how I wish for those days when my daughters would come grab my hand and say, Dad, let's go here, let's go there. You see, now I've grown old, I've got all of this. My daughters are married and they're born, they live their own lives. How I wish those days would come back when they grab my hand and say, come, let's go, let's do something. The days of our lives, my brothers and my sisters, the days of our lives are an invaluable asset. Invaluable means no value can be placed on them. Because once we go into the akhirah, once we go into the grave, we can never come back ever again to come rectify what we had not corrected the first time around. I remember a friend of mine back home, I only tell stories of back home because I just back home. A friend of mine back home, if you look at him, he's got everything that I could want. Everything that is worth to give a person, like the other one earlier. And when we look at him, we feel envious. If I could have a life like that, if I could them wealth like that. And I'd be really happy and really contented. So I remember one time our jamaah was going out for 3 days in the path of Allah to a faraway place like in a village. And he said, I'm coming with you guys. I was surprised, okay, so let's go. And we went. And we were, you know, in the masjid, sitting outside. The African skies, dark night. And he looked up at the sky and he told me, I wish I was dead. I said, SubhanAllah, you wish you were dead, I wish I was you. We all want to be like you, we want to be dead, Fatah. And he told me, I have this problem in life, and that problem in life, and this problem in life, and that. And he said, and when you look at it, my dear brothers, my sisters, nothing of this world, nothing of this world has been made to give us complete satisfaction. This world is a temporary place for us. We're here just to work for our akhirah. I remember one day in our country, in the masjid, normally on Friday night, they have like an ijtima gathering where there is talk of iman, yaqeen, greatness of Allah, akhirah. So we were in such a gathering one time. And there was a jamaat also from one of the Gulf nations. And when the talk was over, one of the guys stood up. He said, I want to speak. A young boy, young man. He said, I want to speak. So we were surprised, but this guy was saying, the talk is over. Everybody's ready to, you know, conclude. And he said, I want to say something. So we were surprised what this guy was going to say. So he stood up. And he starts his talk like this. He says, brothers, I have more money than any of you. He says, I go where I like in this world and I do as I please. And this world is my playground. See, nobody says no to me for anything in this world. Whatever I like, I can have. And subsequently, we found out he was from one of the wealthiest families in the world, etc. etc. So he was telling us his story. This is a boy who lives in palaces his whole life, from the day he was born, who got servants and wealth, etc. 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 So he said, these guys kept telling me to go in the path of Allah for a few days. And I said to them, you've got to be nuts. You crazy. I got everything. Anything. Whatever I could want, I have already. What do you guys want me to go stay in some masjid and pass my time like that? I can be staying in the best resorts in the world, whatever I stay 3 days in a masjid. Why would I do these things you guys are talking about? So he said they spoke to me and they somehow convinced me. So I said, come, let's go. Where are we going? I mean, this guy flies where he likes, when he likes, as he likes, in his own place probably. So that kind of lifestyle. He said, I'm 25 years old. Back then he was 25 years old. He said, so I asked them, where are we going to? So they said, we go to the path of Allah just for 3 days. Let's go to Medina Munawwara, the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We go for da'wah in the path of Allah to Medina Munawwara. So he said, I said, okay, let's go. So we went. He said, we came to Medina. I'm 25 years old. I do as I like and I go as I please. But Allah never gave me the opportunity of going to Medina Munawwara in my life until then. He says, so we came to the city of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the masjid of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, and then in the city of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we listened to the talks of Allah and the words of the Rasul of Allah. We met people and we spoke about Allah. And in the night time, we communicated with Allah. And in the daytime, we invited people to Allah. And our nights were spent in worshipping Allah. And our days were inviting towards Allah. He said, at the end of 3 days, one of the ulama in Medina Munawwara asked him, said, my boy, how were these 3 days? This is that boy who hasn't experienced a day of difficulty in his life, who was born in luxury and lived only in luxury, who has people serving on him all the time, who doesn't know what shortage of anything material is. Now they ask him, how are these 3 days? And he said, Sheikh, these 3 days were the best 3 days of my whole life. So the Sheikh will increase it then if it's true. So he said, okay, we go for another 7. And the meeting 10 days, that's when they came to South Africa. And that's when he narrated this to us. And then he said something to us which always remains with me. He said, even if you people here, even if you work for your whole life and you dedicate yourself to earning money, you will never have as much money as I have. And even if you do earn so much money and you dedicate dedicate your whole life to earning souls. He said, ask me. I already have it. It has not given me happiness or peace or contentment or success. See, until, he said, until I did not come close to my Allah and correct my relation with my Creator, I never found that peace which I searched for in all my wealth and all my possessions. Allah says in the Quran something like this, Allah, bidhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Something like this, that verily in the remembrance of Allah is contentment of heart. My dear brothers, my sisters, you and I are looking for happiness and looking for success. But I am looking for it in the place where it is not. And even if I look for my whole life in those places, I will never find it there because it is not there. I'm not saying you should not earn wealth. I'm not saying you should not excel at business and at profession and at careers. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that the purpose of our life has to be something else. And the needs and necessities have to just carry us through this life. So this is the thing. When we will build that relation with our Creator, then that Creator who controls our happiness will give us that happiness. Here in Florida, we came across a man. By the grace of Allah, he came from his country to America. And in America, Allah gave him blessings and he made a lot of money. He owned a lot of real estate. Became very wealthy. And then got diagnosed with cancer. And he was very ill. Until the day of his death, right? And he was on his deathbed. And the day of his death, he was still conscious and in his mind. On the day he died, knowing that he had a permanent illness that he would not remain in this world, still he signed on the day of his death, he signed purchase of a new piece of land in this earth. This world, my brothers and sisters, this world will not leave us until we don't make a decision to leave this world. Leave this world, leave acquiring age and craziness about this world. And for this reason, we need to make an effort. And for this reason, we need to make an effort on our children. Imagine that person. I met a man in San Francisco. He says, I left my country, I left my land. I left my family, I left my town. I left my culture, and I left my language. And I came to this country. I came to this country for the sake of my children. So I worked very hard and I earned a lot. And then my children grew up, but I had no time to make effort on their demand. So he said to me, my children grew up and I made a lot of money. And one day I said to my son, it's Ramadan, let's go to the masjid. And my son said to me, Dad, it's your religion, you go. I'll follow my own way. My brothers, for him, that was like a slap in the face, like a, my whole life, my everything was for his children. And in the process of giving them, I robbed them of their akhirah. My children may get a good education and may earn a good amount of money here. But in the akhirah, which is forever, I did them down and I lost out for them. And then he said to me something like this. You know, if I'd stayed back home and I hadn't given them any money anywhere, at least I could have died hoping my children would be successful in the hereafter. Now I came here, and maybe that I died knowing my children had lost forever. My brothers, I worry for my kids, and I'm sure all of you worry for your kids. I worry for my children that I want to put them in the best school, and I want the best education for them. And I want the best careers for them. And I want the best jobs for them. And I want the best houses for them. And I want the best lives for them. them. And I'm sure every one of you wants the same for your children. But how often do I worry, this little boy of mine, when he lies in his grave, what answers is my little boy going to give? Does my boy know the right answers for the grave? Or have I taught him the right answers for these exams and failed him in the real exam? I'm not saying don't educate your children. Not at all. But don't lose them. Don't throw our own kids down. We've lost everything if we lose our kids. We've done the most cruel disservice to our kids if we've not brought them up in iman. And this is the thing. That's why we're here, that's why we come out, to come learn a little bit about iman. Tomorrow that daughter, that son who I love so much, have to face Allah on the day of judgment. My brothers, my sisters, this life is short. This window of opportunity to make an effort is very limited time. For this reason, Jamaat are moving in the path of Allah. For this reason, this work of Da'wah is happening. It's not a group, it's not a sect, it's not about some people doing something. It's a work for the whole world. For you and I, for every one of us, that we can become successful when we die, and that our children, the next generation, can become successful when they die. So alhamdulillah, this regard, there are Jamaat in this masjid, there are Jamaat in other masjid, there are Jamaat moving all over the world. Take time, free time, take our kids, take them ourselves also in the path of Allah, that they can learn iman, that we can learn iman. That it mustn't be the end of my life comes,